Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Put the phone down.
Hi everyone, it's Jo here, and we have our second session with Emma in the kitchen. So she's in her kitchen at home, raring to go, and she's going to be talking about all things microwave cooking. So over to you, Emma.
Hi everybody. So I thought we'd do a little session on microwave cooking because it's really simple, it's really easy, and it's a great way to cook if you want to cook quite quickly as well. And that can either be ready prepared food or even cooking from scratch. So what we're going to start with in this session is we're going to start looking at pre-prepared foods. So that could be something like a ready meal. It could be tinned food, or it could be food that either you've prepared and frozen, you've batch cooked, and then you've frozen it in portions. Or it could be something that maybe somebody's cooked for you and brought round. So one of the questions I quite often get asked is, how do you know how long to cook a ready meal for if you can't read the instructions? Well, I mean, we do have things nowadays like seeing AI and so on that can help us with the instructions, but it's not perfect and it doesn't always read instructions very well. So I have a little method that we can use to ensure that we can heat that food up and know that it's safe to eat. So what we're going to do is I've got some pre-prepared sweet and sour chicken that's come out of the freezer and it is in a microwavable bowl. It's in a Sistema porridge pot. Okay, so that it's like a plastic bowl with a handle on the side. It has a lid, and the lid has clips on the side to hold it on, and then it has a vent in the lid. Okay, so you can freeze your food in these bowls. And then you can also, once you've reheated it, you could eat out of this bowl as well. I quite often make things for my lunch in these bowls, put them in the freezer, and then just take one out in the morning and take it to work. So what we're going to do is we are going to start off by putting this in the microwave for 2 minutes. So it's in my bowl. I've opened the vent in the lid. Now, I'm going to pop this in my microwave. Now, my microwave is a really simple two-dial microwave. Lots of people ask me, what's the best kind of microwave to use if you can't see? And I always say a really simple one with two dials. One is controlling the power all the way from defrost round to high. And the other one is your time dial. So if you wanted to, you could put some bump-ons on your microwave, maybe marking 2 minutes or 5 minutes or time frames that you use regularly. I don't do that. What I do instead is I use an external timer. So you could use a timer on your phone. If you have any kind of voice assistant within your kitchen, you could use that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my voice assistant, and I'm going to ask her to set a timer for 2 minutes. And when she says starting now, I'm just going to turn my dial on my microwave about 90 degrees because I know that that's going to give me more than 2 minutes. Okay. Alexa, set a timer for 2 minutes.
2 minutes, starting now.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this in the microwave for 2 minutes. We're going to take it out. We're going to take off the lid. Okay. Now, because we've got the handle on the side of the container and it's plastic, so plastic doesn't heat up in the same way that glass or china does in the microwave. So plastic's a really good material to be using in the microwave. So I'm going to take it out by the handle, take off the lid. And then what I've got is a talking food thermometer that I'm going to use to check this food. Now, what we've got here has got chicken in it. So the chicken is obviously, it's a high risk food. And that is the part of this meal that we need to make sure is hot enough to be able to be eaten safely. So the number that we're looking for is 75 or above, 75 degrees or above. We know that above that temperature, that bacteria cannot survive. So the food probe that I have is one that can be bought from the R&IB shop. It just has one button on it, so it's really, really simple. It has a little cover that covers the pointy end that goes into the food. So when it's not in use, it can be put in the drawer, and you know you're not going to stab yourself with the end of it because it is quite sharp. So we're going to put it into the food. We're going to try and dab. We're going to try and feel for a piece of chicken because that's the important bit. We want to know what the temperature is. If it hasn't reached 75 degrees, what we're going to do is we're going to pop that food back in for another 2 minutes. And we're going to keep on doing that until it reaches 75 degrees. And we're not just going to check one place. We're going to check a couple of places within the food. Oh, there's my timer. We're going to check a couple of places within the food to make sure that it's hot enough. Alexa, stop. So the outside of this dish is quite warm, but the handle of the dish is not warm. Now, if you don't have a dish like this, another way of getting around this is that you can use a bowl inside a bowl. So you can pick up things like plastic mixing bowls really cheaply. Somewhere like Asda sells them for, you know, a couple of pounds each. Now, if you put a smaller one with the food in inside a bigger one, and then you pick the bowls out once the cooking time is over, by the outer bowl will still be cool. It won't be hot like the inside bowl was. So it's another way of ensuring that you're not going to burn yourself. Okay, so I'm going to turn the food probe on. Okay, I'm going to stick it into the food. And what I'm doing is I'm kind of dabbing to see if I can find a piece of that chicken. So sort of dabbing up and down motion. Okay. I think I found a bit. So we're just going to wait for the probe to get to the right temperature, and it should automatically read it out to us.
90.6 degrees.
Oh, 90.6. 90.6 degrees Celsius. So I'm just going to check somewhere else within the food. So one bit was hot, but the other bit wasn't hot enough. Okay. Now what I've done as well is I've just used the end of the probe to give this a bit of a stir, because what we get with the microwave sometimes is we get hot spots.
68.3 degrees Celsius.
So we are going to go back in for another 2 minutes. So I'm just popping the lid back on. In we go. Okay, Alexa, set a timer for 2 minutes.
2 minutes, starting now.
Okay, so whilst that's cooking, I just thought I'd tell you a little bit about here on my worktop, I have a long tray. Okay, it's like a long rectangular tray. You can pick these up quite cheaply in cook shops, also TK Maxx, I think, is where mine is from. And what I use this for is putting all the utensils on that I'm going to use. Oh, you can shush. So on my tray, I have got my food probe. I've got the cover for my food probe because now I've used it, I don't want to put the cover back on until it's clean. And I've got a spoon, and I've got a fork for something else that we might do in a minute. Okay. What's good about using a tray like this is that if you are cooking something where you're moving around the kitchen, is that you can take that tray with you, so that you always know where all your utensils are that you're going to be using to cook that particular meal. So, we just wait for the microwave to finish. Hopefully it won't be too long. So, one thing about using this process for cooking is that the food can be frozen. So you can cook it from frozen if it's suitable to be cooked from frozen, or it could be food that's been in the fridge. Just obviously, if it's been in the freezer, it's going to take longer. So it's going to have to come up from a lower temperature. So you might decide if something's frozen that you might do 4 minutes to start with and check it. This food today was fresh. It was in the fridge. So we hopefully won't have to do it for too long. So as I said before, we can do this exactly the same process with a ready meal that you bought from the supermarket. That's the timer. So it will work with any ready meal at all. Alexa, stop. Obviously, the only kind of ready meal that you can't stir is something like a lasagna, because obviously it's a layered meal. But most other things, pasta dishes or curries or anything like that. Oh, there's lots of steam coming off this now. You can stir that to help mix that food around to ensure that the temperature is even throughout. Right, let's see how we're getting on with this.
Ninety-one point nine degrees Celsius.
I'm just going to check somewhere else.
91.9 degrees Celsius. Okay,
so that's two places.
97.1
So hopefully this Celsius. Should be ready. Now, if you don't have a food probe, another option is to use a spoon. So you could put your spoon into your food and give it a quick stir, probably for about, I don't know, 10 to 15 seconds, and then feel the back of the spoon. Just tap it with the back of your finger. If that spoon is too hot for you to keep your finger on, it is most likely to be cooked. But the fail-safe way would be to use the food thermometer. Okay, so that is
4 degrees.
Right, we'll turn you off. So that is pre-prepared food. So next, I thought we would have a look at doing pasta in the microwave. So I'm just going to get my pasta.
Emma, quick question for you while you're getting your pasta.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to overcook something, you know, to make, to kind of ruin it?
Yes. Yeah, it would be. You could do that and you'd know something would probably dry out quite a bit. The texture of it wouldn't be quite right. And also, I think actually, you know, we're all very good at using our other senses, and hopefully your nose might tell you as well.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
You would.
Definitely, if you're cooking something in the oven or something in the air fryer or even on the hob, your nose is quite good at telling you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions before we carry on, do you think?
No, I was just thinking about perhaps people might ask about other sort of, I know you said that you've got the specific bowls and then you said other bowls like cooking bowls. I suppose people could use sort of, if they've had a takeaway, they could use the pots from a Chinese or Indian, couldn't they? And just as long as the lid's not on tightly, if they've got it loosely on, then that would work, would it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've cooked food and you want to freeze it, then those kind of plastic containers with the lids on from takeaway places are perfect. Yeah. And they are, you know, they will withstand quite a lot of heat as well. So there's no problem in reheating in those in the microwave at all. They're great. Yeah. Just loosen the lid probably on two corners. Make sure it's not on because the steam needs to escape.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would say. Some other containers that I have is I've got some glass containers with plastic lids, which I put food in and I put those in the freezer. And when I put those in the microwave, what I will do is I'll use that bowl in a bowl method. So sometimes, you know, if you buy something like a paella, it comes in like a round ready meal bowl rather than a rectangular one. Mm. And if you wash that up and save it, and then you can put your glass bowl into that so that when you're taking it out the microwave, that that glass bowl is going to be hot. So, you know, pick it out by the plastic bowl instead.
Yeah, good idea. Mm. Perfect.
Sorry, I was just having a drink.
well deserved.
The other thing I was going to say is about labelling food when you freeze things, is that I've made some of my own labels. So basically what I've used is I've used like a clear plastic sheet, like something off the front of a kind of folder type idea. And I've brailled on it. So I've brailled, let's say, chicken curry, and I've cut it up into like the long labels. I've punched a hole in the end and I've threaded an elastic band through and then through itself to make a loop. And then I will put those around the container so I know what's in the container. Because those labels are reusable. The thing about paper labels in the freezer, when you braille on them, is that when they get a bit damp and cold, is that the dots tend to fall off the paper labels. So if you use plastic, it works better. And the thing about these labels is that they're reusable. You know, if you use something like the Dymo labeler, you know, you end up pulling them off and chucking them away. And actually, I found even if you put the label through the dishwasher, the dots disappear, they melt in the dishwasher. So you just end up with what looks like a blank strip of plastic again when it comes out. So
right.
Yeah. So the reusable ones work really well. You can make them how you want them, write what you want on them. And I also use them with slightly smaller elastic bands on things like my tins in the cupboard as well.
It's a really good idea.
Okay, so pasta. So I've got my pasta in a plastic container. I always pour it into a plastic container because the bags tend to split. And when it comes to measuring it for meals, it's much easier to do it from a plastic container than it is from the packet. So what I've got here also is a plastic cup. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to measure one plastic cup of pasta. So I'm tipping it in because I've got the shape of the container is kind of a tall square. And so I'm kind of using the corner as a spout. And I'm tipping it into the plastic cup. And then what I'm going to do is I'm then going to tip that into another one of my plastic bowls. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to use the plastic cup and I'm going to fill it up with water. So we're measuring this one cup of pasta to one cup of water. Okay, pouring it in. Okay, now what I'm going to do this time is hang on, let me just get rid of that. I've finished the pasta, so the container's empty. What I'm going to do this time is I'm not going to use the lid for the container. I am going to use a piece of kitchen roll to go over the top. And the reason why I'm using a piece of kitchen roll is because cooking pasta in the microwave is really good if you're not confident at doing it on the hob, but it creates an awful lot of steam within the microwave. So by using the kitchen roll will soak up the steam and it will not fill your microwave with steam. Otherwise you'll open the door and this big wall of steam kind of comes out at you. So what it does is your kitchen roll gets very soggy, but it soaks it up so you get less of that kind of cloud when you open the door. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna cook this for 5 minutes, for a whole 5 minutes. Okay, so Alexa, set a timer for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Okay, so once this comes out, what we're going to do is we're going to give it a little bit of a stir. Okay, and we're going to think about how it feels through the fork that we're going to use to stir it with. So what we want to be thinking about, how does pasta feel like when it's cooked? We all know that because we've eaten it. So we want to know, does it feel like that at this point, or does it need a little bit more cooking? So we're going to give it this these 5 minutes, give it a stir, and then we'll see if it needs any more time. Now, each microwave has different power setting and different sort of power strength. So what I would do is I would do that initial 5 minutes, because it will definitely need that. Some higher power microwaves, another 2 or 3 minutes is enough. Some low power microwaves, it might have to be another 5 minutes before it's cooked. So what I would do is I would see how long it needs. So give it, maybe have a practice to see how it works out in your microwave, and using your bowls, your containers, and also the kind of pasta that you're cooking, because obviously different shapes will take different lengths of time. I've got penne here today, but I've got whole wheat penne, and sometimes whole wheat pasta will take a little bit longer to cook than just ordinary white pasta. Jo, have we got any questions?
I don't think so yet. I'm waiting with bated breath to see how this works.
Oh, it does work, I promise you.
Yeah, it no, I trust you implicitly.
Oh, no, well, don't do that. it does work, and I think for people who maybe feel that they're quite nervous at using the hob, they're nervous at boiling things on the hob, and also with pasta, is that it's one of those things that when boiling, it boils over much more easily than something like potatoes or vegetables or rice. And it's due to the starch in the water, basically. So, you know, you won't get that so much when you do it in the microwave. So, and also it depends on what kind of hob you've got at home. You might not feel confident about if you've got a gas hob, and that might not be your choice, the kind of hob you have. So
yeah,
it's an alternative to using the hob. And it's not for everybody. It's definitely not for everybody. And if you feel confident and you know how to do it on the hob, then fine. But if not, it's another option, really.
I think it's great. And also, you know, if you're only cooking for one person, sometimes using the hob just feels like a bit of a, you know, using a big pan feels like a bit of a waste of, you know.
Power.
Yeah, absolutely. So doing it in the microwave, just doing enough for one person, is probably a really good idea.
Yeah. You might not want to do a whole family's worth of pasta in the microwave. But yeah, doing it for one person or even two people. So I would say that, I've used to say like, it's like a 200ml, like plastic, you know, like children's plastic cup. And I've filled that with pasta, and that equates to about one person. That amount of pasta. So one cup of pasta per person. And if you're not sure about that, you could still use the cup even if you're measuring it into a saucepan and doing it on the hob.
Yeah, definitely. And that's easy, isn't it? Because when you're using a bag of pasta, it goes everywhere, doesn't it? You know, if you're just decanting it from the bag, your bag can get ripped. And yeah, it's easier doing it from a cup, isn't it, or something?
Yeah. And that's why I always say, like, put it in a container. And what you could do is, if you've got like a shallow container, is pour it in there, and then you can use the cup as a scoop then and scoop it out.
Yeah.
So that works quite well. So we wouldn't use the food probe for this, okay, because the food probe isn't going to work, because all it will do, it will tell us the temperature of the water. And when we're using the boiling process when cooking, whether it's in the microwave or on the hob, the food probe doesn't work. What we need to be going on is texture, to tell us when food's cooked, rather than the temperature of the food.
Yeah.
So if we cook something like a bolognese on the hob, you could use the food probe for that, but not for the pasta. Right, my timer is going off. So it's quite warm in here. Okay. Alexa, stop. And my kitchen roll is definitely quite soggy. So it's definitely done a good job at soaking up that water. Okay. Oh, getting fork. Okay, so I'm giving it a little stir. And what I'm feeling is that it's nearly there, but not quite cooked. Okay, so it's definitely partly cooked, but that's probably a bit andante for me, a bit hard still. So what I'm going to do, because my kitchen roll is quite wet, I'm going to get a new bit. We're going to pop it over the top, but this time we're just going to put it in for 3 minutes. Okay. Alexa, set a timer for 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
So one of the things I always say when we're boiling something like pasta, like rice or vegetables, is taste them. If you're not sure by poking them whether they're cooked, give them a little taste. Potato's not going to harm you if it's not quite cooked. It wouldn't taste particularly nice, but it's not going to harm you. And you can definitely do it with pasta and with rice. So what we're going to do when this comes out, because most of the water will have evaporated, there'll only be a little bit left. So in terms of draining, some people really struggle with draining. They're concerned that they're going to tip boiling water everywhere. So what I would do, and you can do this with something from the microwave, or you can do it with a saucepan. I would put your colander in your sink, and then I would put your pan or whatever it is into the colander the right way up, and literally just use the handle to twist it upside down within the colander, and then it will drain any of that excess water out from whatever we are cooking. Now, some people in the microwave, if you've got a microwave rice cooker, you can also put pasta in a microwave rice cooker as well if you wanted to. Any questions, Jo?
Can we do rice? I'm guessing we can, the same way as we're doing pasta.
You could do, but to be honest, if you're going to do rice in the microwave, I would just buy one of those rice pouches.
See, that's what I do.
Yeah,
because I am rubbish at cooking rice.
Well, I do cook rice on the hob sometimes if I'm cooking lots of it. But the rice pouches nowadays, they're so good. As long as you smash them up with your hands first to loosen all the grains, they all take 2 minutes, really.
Yeah, you know, I love those.
Yeah, they're great. Split the top so the steam can get out. And if you're not sure about lifting it out of the microwave, one of these steamer bowls that I'm using now with the handle on the side, just stand your pouch in the bowl and put it in the microwave like that. And then when you go to take it out, you can take it out by the plastic bowl, not the pouch, because the pouches get really hot. And sometimes it's hard to grip those kind of seams down the side of the bag to be able to lift it out. So
that's a really good tip, isn't it? Yeah.
Because
I'm a bit asbestos hands, you know, so I just jump in. Well, it's not for everyone, is it?
Me too. But putting it in something really helps. So that kind of bowl in a bowl method or whatever you want to call it. Oh, the timer's going off. So in we go. And I can feel it getting lighter as well, this bowl, as the water is being absorbed. Alexa, stop. Yeah, so this is cooked. Yeah, give it a little taste. Yeah, that's definitely cooked. Okay, so there we are. What do you reckon, Joe?
Perfect. I think that's great. I think for someone who's not, confident using the hob, or if you're just cooking for one person and you want to save a bit of energy, maybe, I just think that's just a really good idea.
Yeah. And if anybody's got any questions, Joe, what should they do? Like the
So this is being recorded, obviously. So the recording will be posted onto the Audio Boom channel, but then that'll be shared in the In the Kitchen group. So if anyone's got any questions, please leave a comment, or you can email us info@vitalk.co.uk, and we can pass your questions on to Emma. And if you've got any ideas for any future sessions, whether you just want to listen to the recordings or whether you want to join us, we're really happy for people to join us over Zoom and ask your questions directly to Emma, as she's doing things. That would be great. So whatever works for you, we're happy with. But just, yeah, get in touch with us, with your ideas or your questions or your comments, and that'd be great.
Okay, brilliant. And if anybody's got any questions about anything really, sort of, cooking related, it doesn't have to be about what we've talked about on the two sessions so far. It can be about anything. And if you would like a session on something in particular, then we can look at that. So I don't know, maybe for example, we could do a session on the air fryer or a session on cooking eggs in different ways. So let us know if there's things that you want to know, and we'll see if we can arrange that.
Definitely. I think that would be amazing, a session on eggs, because I can do scrambled eggs. I
Yeah.
tend to do it in the microwave. I can boil eggs, but when it comes to poached eggs, that's my hubby's job because I'm rubbish at it.
Brilliant.
And he's very good at it, and I'm not. So
Oh.
so I think a session on eggs would be really good because it's such a useful thing, isn't it? You just want a quick meal. It's poached eggs on
Really
toast or
good.
something like that.
Yeah,
It's just
absolutely.
easy, isn't it?
Yeah. And eggs are so good for us as well. They're
Yeah.
full of, protein and all those vitamins and minerals. So it's a really good, quick and easy food, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the air fryer as well, what do we see most coming up on VI Talk in the kitchen and in the main group quite often as well? What's the most accessible air fryer? What do we do with it? How do we use it? What can we cook in it? I think that would be pretty good. But let's see what people come up with. And so get your questions in, folks, and we can sort it out for you, hopefully.
We'll do our best, or maybe we can combine something. I'll leave this one with you, everybody.
Yeah, brilliant.
Boiled eggs in the air fryer.
Oh, I've heard about that, and I was like, no way. And one of my friends was like, absolutely. And
Yes
so
way.
yes, so that's
Yeah.
something we need to talk about.
Definitely. Definitely. No
Oh, thanks so much, Emma. It's been great.
problem at all. All right.